This is the Future of IP Protection podcast,
brought to you by MorphVision. This show is dedicated to arming companies with the skills, know-how, and technology they will need to future-proof their IP protection strategy for the years ahead.
Hello, everyone. Thank you for listening to another episode of the Future of IP Protection podcast. I'm Brandi Spence, Head of Marketing with MorphVision. Today, we have the privilege of speaking with Paul Foley. Paul is an industry veteran. His career spans across 30 years, working with powerhouse brands such as Nike and Converse and Reebok. Today, he's bringing his expertise on a whole nother level. He's leading the brand protection strategies for StockX, which, if you don't by now know, is a global online marketplace that connects buyers and sellers of hard-to-find fashions, collectibles, and electronics. Hey, Paul, it's fantastic to have you with us.
Hey, Brandi. Thanks for having me. Great to see you.
Great to see you, too. Well, let's kick things off. Why don't you share your journey and sort of what drew you to your new role at StockX? I mean, you've been here now for a year, right?
Yeah, almost a year. Exactly. Interesting is I started in the footwear industry and not the typical legal path that most people into IP take, but I started in supply chain and operations and sourcing. Having visited factories, implemented supply chain systems at factories, knowing how products are made, footwear and apparel, visiting many, many factories for the brands that I worked for over the years. So there came a point in time where we started seeing increased counterfeit issues in the marketplace, and they started putting teams of people together. And part of the people from the teams were people that understood how traditional footwear and apparel and accessories were made. So people that knew the supply chains and the product creation process of how brands go to market, of starting with product designs and the whole product development and product testing, and then the material supply chain for those components, and then getting into the factories and doing the factory purchase orders and doing the work and process at the factory, and then how brands ship products to different parts of the world, to different markets. So when we started seeing issues with counterfeit, they started assembling people from different areas, including legal and people that knew the authentic supply chain. So that's sort of how I got into it, you know, from a background perspective.
Yeah, that's very interesting. And you touch on a few things. I mean, we've seen certainly over the years, complex supply chains and globalized products have become the norm. And more recently, there's been even a greater emphasis on sustainability and product control and more transparency that are also driving demands for compliance with traceability and digital identity sort of at the forefront of that. What advice would you have regarding authentication strategies for companies? What in your experience have you seen works best? Is it, for example, QR codes or NFC and RFID components or serialized numeric codes or something else, or maybe even a combination thereof? What do you see?
Yeah, that's a great question. Thank you, Brandi. I think to have a full brand protection authentication strategy, it needs to be a multi-layered approach. So from a product perspective, you definitely want to look at the newest technologies that are out there, QR codes, RFID, NFC. You also want to do the more traditional thing, which is putting overt and covert tells on the product. So you want to make sure it's multi-layered, multifaceted, and it goes just beyond the ability to authenticate your product. You also need to be willing to do enforcement when you catch people that are violating your IP. And you also have to have a digital online strategy of what you're doing about people that are, you know, setting up websites in your brand's name and redirecting you to different places. So I'd say those are the highlights. It's multifaceted. For every step, there's probably two or three levels that you want to go down.
Absolutely. You mentioned the digital side of things too. What role do you see AI and machine learning sort of playing into that?
It's interesting because I think AI is very interesting new technology. I think when it comes to IP, the part that I'm trying to learn more about and figure out the path of AI going forward is so much of the underlying where the data is actually coming from is unknown. So they don't reference the sources. So some of the ways of what I think AI right now, the current challenge of what I see it is from a reliability standpoint. I think AI is very good about going out and collecting a lot of data and presenting a lot of data, but they don't give you the decision tree to sort of see how reliable that actually underlying data is.
In your mind, having that extra layer of sort of not just the data, but really highlighting where to go from there, how to utilize it, what action you might be able to take might be that next step from an AI perspective?
Yeah, I think vetting out the sources and being transparent of what the sources of the data are, because, you know, who knows, they might be going to a Reddit thread to get kernels of data. Well, maybe a lot of that data is not really well vetted, or they might be going to the source of the brand itself. That's probably good data. But it might be old data where they haven't released what they're doing now, but what you're reporting on is something they did 5 years ago. So that's why I think having the foundational source of the data is going to be very important for AI.
Absolutely. On the flip side of that, we know the bad guys are really super savvy, and they're always looking for ways to dupe consumers and finding new ways to leverage technologies to their advantage. How sophisticated do you believe counterfeiters have become on the expansion of high-quality replicas? And what are some of the emerging technologies that you think might present some challenges to IP protection in the coming years?
Yeah, I think the quality of replicas has always increased over the years. Before, you know, years ago when you were on Canal Street in New York or at the night market in Hong Kong, you knew you were looking at fakes or counterfeits. But now it's the quality has become much better. And I would have to say it's probably mostly at an observable level, because when you start into the material components and the construction and anything that the eye can't see, that's where the counterfeit is going to cut cost. And they're going to make it so the material looks similar, but it might not actually be the same material. So I think definitely the quality has improved over the years. And new technologies like machine vision and machine learning are going to help see through some of those quality things that appear on the surface to be very good. But, you know, if you actually look at the material, you'll see that they're different materials. So counterfeiters are very sophisticated. They have a lot of money to be made. So they're going to try to do whatever they can to protect their business.
No doubt. They always are. It always amazes me the level of, I mean, I think they put their efforts towards like a real business, like a real legit business, how savvy they are. They'd be pretty good at it, right? Because
right?
Just incredible marketers. They're so ahead of the things and it really keeps everybody on their toes. So yeah, no doubt. So given your wealth of experience on both sides of the industry, I think our listeners would really benefit from your advice. What advice would you give to other brand owners who are looking to work with reseller marketplaces such as StockX?
I think the biggest message or call to action is we want to work together. We want to work with you. Having been on the brand side and having been on the marketplace side, the brands don't have all the information. The marketplaces don't have all the information, but together we have a lot of information that can be turned into actionable intelligence against the bad guys. You know, we as a marketplace, our goal is to protect the consumers, which is our consumer and the brand consumer. We have a joint vested interest in the consumer. And, you know, sharing intelligence about who the bad actors are, we definitely want to partner with brands on that, you know, and yeah. be able to do enforcement together, going after the bad actors together.
And absolutely collaborating with the partners is key. And I'm sure that you do that. Are there other entities that you collaborate with in order to really protect intellectual property rights and your own intellectual property right?
Yeah, that's a great point. You know, we do a lot of our own IP enforcement on people that are, you know, selling our StockX tags that are not authorized and people that are setting up fake websites that represent us and redirect to different things. So we're doing our own internal IP protection and we're looking out for all the brands that we have on our platform of where we see, you know, counterfeiters also setting up other websites and things like that. And we're very mindful and to analyze the data of, does someone look like they're suspicious or have bad intentions? So again, it's all data-driven, and data can lead us back to going after the counterfeiters.
For sure. So as we look into the future, let's kind of, I don't know, polish off the crystal ball, so to speak, and look ahead about 5 years. We've touched about some of these technologies and everything, but how do you see the landscape of brand protection changing? And what do you envision your role, or how do you anticipate your role, rather, at StockX will evolve alongside some of these challenges and developments?
Yeah, great question, Brandy. I think if you look at Gen Z, you know, they are spending a lot of time on resale platforms. So I don't think the resale platforms are going away. And as Gen Z increases their spending powers over the years, these are the markets that they're most familiar with and most comfortable with. So I think it's going to be really good for brands and us to collaborate together. The anti-counterfeiting initiatives that we're doing and to see where new technologies come into play is going to be really exciting to see what, you know, it was QR codes and RFID and NFC. Now you get AI coming in, you got machine vision. So it's going to be interesting to see as the technologies evolve, what that can mean to adopt into using for brand protection.
Well, before we wrap it up, we can't let you go without asking the one question that we ask just about all our guests. And that is really to impart your knowledge with three pieces of actionable advice that you would give to IP professionals in order to succeed in the future.
Okay, three pieces of advice. I would say, think of intellectual property as an insurance policy behind your brand. You know, if you're going to go out and buy a nice bike, you also want to buy a nice lock for it. So that's what I think IP is for, especially for some of the younger and growing brands. So I would say number one is to make sure you register your IP. And even if you're a brand that's just starting out, just don't think locally, think globally. Register your marks as many places around the world as you can, because that investment will pay off in the long run. And it's more than just registering with the IP rights. You also have to register with customs as well. So making sure you do your registrations and then making sure you start doing enforcement. Because if you register your IP marks, but you don't enforce against them, you don't want to lose your rights for doing enforcement. And then I'd say the third thing is being willing to work and collaborate with your factories, your vendors, your suppliers, law enforcement, and your markets and your platforms. So I would say those are the three main points, you know, enforcement, registration, collaboration, and having a global view as opposed to just a local geographical view.
Well, that was four, but it's great.
I gave you a bonus.
That's right. I love it. Really sound pieces of advice. I think our listeners will really learn from that. Paul, thanks again for joining us today and sharing your perspectives with us. Let's let our listeners know where they can go and get in touch with you if they have any questions and they want to learn more.
All right. Yeah. Thank you for having me, Brandy. This has been fun and a pleasure. Yeah, I'd say you can follow StockX on Instagram and Twitter and online at StockX.com. And if you want to reach out to me, you can hit me up on LinkedIn.
Well, thank you all for listening, and we'll catch you all on the next episode of The Future of IP Protection.
Thanks for listening to The Future of IP Protection podcast, brought to you by Mark Vision. If you enjoyed today's show, please do us a favor and leave us a review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. And if you'd like to learn more about how Mark Vision can help you transform your IP protection strategy, visit us at markvision.com. Thanks again, and I'll catch you on the next episode.